I'm Pastor Dave Cass, the pastor of adult ministries here at E-Free Church, and it's my privilege today to speak to you about spiritual unity. I wrestled quite a bit with this subject because as you think about the word spiritual, it automatically changes the perspective from just talking about someone in their physical life or their physical nature, but you're talking about their spiritual life and their spiritual nature. And so you need to address the spirit of the individual instead of just their actions. For I could think of spiritual unity coming within marriage as two people, husband and wife, praying together, or reading the Bible together, or just fellowshipping at church together. And yeah, we could call that spiritual unity. But yet at the same time, I do believe it needs to go deeper than that. And I think this is what I wrestled with as I began to prepare for this message, is I said, how can I speak to the spirit of the marriages instead of just the habits or the actions of that? So that first word, spiritual, says, Dave, you have to speak to the spirit or the soul as distinguished differently from just their physical nature. Dave, you have to address these folks with the aspect of a spiritual approach to life. And so then I continued contemplating as I thought of the word unity. And that was much easier, particularly as we talk about this marriage series, is because unity is just the idea, it's the state of being undivided, having oneness, a condition of harmony. The bringing together of separate fragmented parts into a unified whole. And of course, I think you'd agree with me that as we talk about men and women within marriage, we realize that we're bringing two completely opposite people and we are asking them to get along together in unity. And you can't get much different than a man and a woman as far as their direction. I think we found that out very clearly throughout this whole series. So now I began to think and say, okay, I have to speak to the soul of the people, but I have to bring both of them together into the same place. And then I thought, wow, how can I do that? And so that's when it came to me that I would look at Galatians chapter 5 and I would talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And I began to develop the idea that what we need to do is have the man and the woman have a priority and a spiritual approach to life that they both will agree on, that they'll hold high regard, so that then they can come together in unity over the consistency of what we're going to study. And I hope that we can accomplish that as we go through the fruit of the Spirit today from Galatians 5, 22 through 25. But before we get there, I just have a couple of overriding principles that I'd like to say that I usually say in counseling when I'm counseling married couples. I believe one of our highest goals as husbands and wives should be our goal as a husband for our wife or a wife for her husband should be that God's will be fulfilled within their lives no matter what. In other words, I should have for my wife, Fran, the greatest goal of my life to make sure that she is pleasing to God, that she is living for the honor and glory of God, and that she has Him as her priority. And may I say, I believe that should be true for Fran also. As she looks at me, she ought to say, Dave, my greatest good for you is to make sure that God's will is fulfilled within your life. And that creates spiritual unity because now you know both of us are going for the same goal, it's for the same purpose, and it's for the same person, for God Himself. I believe that is the greatest goal that we can have for our husband or our wife is that they will be pleasing to God. I believe you'll see that as we go through the fruit of the Spirit. It is amazing that we've seen this before, but God has said this, and we have to remind ourselves of it, is that God has said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. That's a pretty amazing statement, to think that God expects these two diverse individuals to come together and be one flesh. There must be some way to do that. As different as we are, men and women, but yet at the same time, if God said it, there must be some purpose, some reason, some backing of that so that we can come together and be one flesh. And I think we've tried to stress that throughout this whole marriage series, is how do we see things together from a biblical perspective so both of us can pursue God's perspective on these issues. And of course, as Dan said in our opening, how good and how pleasant it is when the people, when God's people, live together in unity. God is pleased when a husband and wife lives together in unity. And it can't be a forced unity. It can't be something that is fake. It has to be something that's actually lived out. And so there needs to be a motivating factor for me to live with my wife in spiritual unity, and for her to live with me in spiritual unity. There has to be some reasoning behind it. And I believe the fruit of the Spirit will show that to us with great clarity. Do you remember the story of when Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles, and the scribes came to Jesus in Jerusalem, and they were saying, "You are possessed by a devil." They were saying that Jesus Christ was possessed by a devil and was doing those things by the power of devils, such as even casting out demons. And Jesus responded, and Jesus said, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" But then he gives a good analogy. He uses, first of all, a kingdom. He said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And then Jesus said something very interesting. And if a house is divided itself, the house will not stand. Jesus gives those two pictures, one of a kingdom and one of a household. If it's divided, it will not stand. Unity is important within the framework of a home. And that unity has to be arrived in some form, in some fashion, with a consistency on both parties so that both parties understand where we're going and what we're doing. And without that, I don't think we can ever get there. I do not believe that a person left to his own ideas, me as my flesh, me as my sinful flesh, can arrive at God's perfect unity for my life and my wife, but there has to be something else to be able to help me do that, because I don't believe I can do it on my own. So that was pretty amazing that Jesus said, if a house is divided against itself, it will not be able to stand. And so it is, I believe, that our homes need to be a place of peace, of tranquility, of unity, rather than disharmony, anger, hatred. But I believe there's a huge amount of work to be done in that perspective so that we can reach that point. I don't believe it's easy. I think it's against who we are and against our nature to be the kind of people that the fruit of the Spirit speak about. But yet I believe with all my heart, God has the ability to change us and to help us and to become the people that he wants us to become. A couple of verses just to highlight what we're talking about. Remember, our goal in finances, sex, communication, forgiveness, parenting, and now in spiritual unity has always been to take these priorities, to place God's word at these priorities, and then to live according to what God has said. And with no apologies, I'm thankful that our church stands for that very consistently. But listen, in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, just as an overriding principle, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, the one thing you have to understand is the first priority for spiritual unity, I believe, to be knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It has to start there. You have to have a relationship with God so that then this verse takes place and the principles that we're going to see in the fruit of the Spirit will be able to be bore out within your life, because without the Spirit of God, you can't live like this. I can't live like this. And so we need the Spirit of God living in us to be able to do what the Holy Spirit wants to move us to do. So the first priority within our marriage for spiritual unity is the fact that we need to be sure and confident of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That we acknowledge His forgiveness in our life, that I know I'm going to heaven based upon what God has told me and my belief in what He has done. When that takes place, the Spirit of God lives in me, which then gives me the strength and the ability to live according to the principles to which we will see. In Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus said, and He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." That verse always gets me because it says that we are to love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I think another question we have to ask ourselves, other than just do we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior from sin, which I hope is true for you, and we can help you if you don't know that truth. We would love to help you. But the second one is, how much do I really love God? When the Bible says that I am to love Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, shame on all of us, because we all need help there, don't we? We all fall short. But are we getting better? Are we loving Him more each day? Is He a greater priority within our life consistently? Are we loving Him more today than we did yesterday even, than we did last year? Is the all in our life becoming more all-inclusive? Or we could have an attitude that says, I just don't care. I think I'm where I'm at. I love God. He knows I love Him. Big deal, you know? Spiritual unity means we have a goal, a priority, that since the Spirit of God lives in me, I need to love Him more each and every day. And then Romans says, so when we pursue the things which make for peace, the building up of one another. Are we building our marriages? Are we building them? What are we building them on? I believe, once again, the fruit of the Spirit will help us to realize what we need to build our marriages on. But building one, there's a lot of homes and a lot of marriages where the only thing they're doing is tearing each other down. Sorry, I have to admit that. Are we building each other up in this most holy faith? Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. I believe the fruit of the Spirit will help us live in peace in our homes. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or remain absent, I will hear of you and your standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I think that needs to be a priority within our home. I think that needs to be a priority between husband and wife. Striving for the gospel, striving for the honor and glory of God. And then one important one, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete, being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit. And then it says, intent on one purpose. Of course, that purpose is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The purpose is to honor and glorify Him. The purpose is to have Him as my priority. The only way that we can have spiritual unity within our marriage is to have one purpose, one goal, one desire, and both be striving for it at the same time. But where are we going to get our ideal? Where are we going to get the guidance and direction? For I know in me nothing good dwells in my flesh, for the will is present with me, but the doing of that is not. Now what's amazing, as you turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5:22 through 25, we're going to see the fruit of the Spirit. Now one of the things you should notice, earlier in Galatians it talks about the works, plural, of the flesh. And it describes those in great clarity. Each one of those are a work of the flesh, meaning that each individual one of those things is a work of the flesh. And it's pretty disturbing. But then when you get down to this point, you see the fruit of the Spirit, singular. The fruit of the Spirit is when the Spirit of God indwells in us, He produces one fruit, but it has many facets to it. We're going to look at those facets in more detail as we go through one by one. But yet at the same time, these individual pieces make up the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit. It's kind of like a cluster of grapes that comes from the vine, which Jesus gave us that illustration as it was. And the vine, we are attached to the vine, but the clump of grapes come out. If you cut off the one root, you'll have a nice set of grapes here. And it's all one set of grapes from one vine. And this set of priorities, character traits of the Spirit of God is one. And it should be manifested. It's not that I can do some of them and I can't do others. It's not that I should have some of them as a priority but not others. It should be that I should be striving for all of them, because now it's a verification that the Spirit of God is working in me and through me, and I am trying to please God with my life. Wanting to please God and not keeping a bunch of rules, regulation, and laws is the priority. And so we have Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. The first fruit that we're going to see and we're going to talk about, just quickly, we'll go through each one of these, is love. This is the first priority that is a fruit of the Spirit. This is one of the many great things that the Spirit of God allows us to have. Now, you may say, Pastor Dave, I love my husband, I love my wife. Yeah, but I wonder if you love them the way the Bible says you should love them. I wonder if you love them the way that this word has a description within the pages of Scripture. Because don't you think that the Spirit of God would love and emphasize love in a way that's different than our fleshly being would be? I mean, our flesh can love, but not the same way as the Spirit would love. And so the kind of love that I need to have for my wife and the same kind of love that my wife needs to have for me is a sincere appreciation for that individual. A sincere appreciation for that individual. Do you appreciate your husband and wife, or do you tolerate your husband and wife? A sincere appreciation for who they are, for the God bringing them into your life, for the privilege that you have of living with them, for the differences you have. Do you live with them in high honor? That's another thing this word emphasizes, is this love that we're talking about is a love that puts a person on a pedestal in high honor rather than just loving them as we do as human beings. This love that we're talking about is not self-centered, but it's other-centered. The greatest example I can give to you of this love is what Jesus Christ has done for us. He came to the cross of Calvary to die on the cross of Calvary in your place and my place, and it didn't benefit him. He died and was crushed and was pulverized beyond a human being's ability to be pulverized. But yet he did it for you. He did it for me. That's the kind of love we should have for our spouse. It's not self-centered. It's not what I can get out of life, but it's what I can give to you. It is willing to sacrifice my own desires for the good of my spouse. You're basically living for them. And this love cannot be manufactured or just play games with. This real has to be real. This love has to be real and heartfelt. If you're just going through the motions and saying, yes, I love you, yes, I'll write you a note, yes, I'll do whatever, and your motive isn't right, your heart isn't right, then this is not the kind of love the Spirit of God is talking about, that He wants you to manifest through His help within your marriage to bring spiritual unity. But if both of you have as your priority to love as the Spirit of God wants to generate love within you, can you see your marriage would be better? Can you see how spiritual unity of this love will make you on the same page for the same goal, for the same reasons, with the same desires, with the same priorities, instead of being two distinct, different people? So what kind of love do you have for your spouse? Do you have the Spirit of God loving through you? The second one is joy. Now, this is going to seem silly to you, and I can't believe. I tried to do all kinds of word searches on this. I tried to think of all examples that I could give you so I could show you or tell you what joy is. I wanted to come up with like the greatest idea of what joy is. But you know what I came up with? I came up with what the Spirit of God is talking about here is joy. Are you joyful in your marriage? Are you enjoying your marriage? Do you truly have great happiness for your spouse once again instead of just tolerating them? Are you really happy and joyful for your husband or your wife? That's what the Spirit of God is saying in this fruit of the Spirit, is have real joy. Well, the fact is, some of us are living with a marriage that's not too joyful. That's sad. It needs to be changed. If we're going to live as the fruit of the Spirit wants us to live, if we are to have joy permeating our hearts and lives, then we should have joy for our husband or our wife. Do you enjoy, have great joy to just spend time with your spouse? Do you have great joy to just sit and talk or hold your wife's or husband's hand and just fellowship with them? Do you look forward to after work to go home and say, I get to be with my husband or wife and I really have great joy by walking in and seeing that person? That's what the Spirit of God is saying, that the fruit of the Spirit not only produces a fruit called love that is so different than what we love, but also a real joy. And by the way, this doesn't only have to be applied to the marriage truth. This should be the fruit of the Spirit that's in a Christian's life. But when it comes to your spouse, how much more should it be? Because we are to be one flesh. Not only love and joy, but also the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace. Is your home a place of peace or a war zone? The peace that the Holy Spirit is wanting to generate in your heart and your husband or wife's heart is a peace between individuals. There's no fighting. There's no war going on. This piece is talking about a real harmony. Has the Spirit of God brought this important truth of spiritual unity within your marriage, that you are really in harmony with one another? This idea of peace actually means to be quiet within your own inner self, to be at peace, to be settled in. When you get home, or when you have fellowship with your wife or husband, is there harmony or is there a disquiet in your inner self? This is talking about harmony that's between two people that maybe there wouldn't be any harmony. But it's in contrast that even if there's a difference, men and women, that there can be a harmony and a peace within that relationship. True peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. True peace comes not from the absence of trouble. I'm not saying that you should live in a house with never any problems, never any difficulties, or never any rough edges. But the question is, do you come back to a point? Does the Spirit of God lead you as a husband and wife back to the point of being at peace with each other in harmony? Or do you do the exact opposite when the Bible says, don't go to bed with unresolved conflicts in your life? Not only are we talking about love, joy, and peace, but also patience. Oh boy. Now we can all identify with this, can't we? Because most of us would have to admit that we don't have patience, especially when it comes to our spouse. I think every now and then we all have to, no matter how spiritual we are, say that we lose it with our spouse. We're not patient. A slowness in avenging wrongs, a slowness in avenging wrongs. To remain seated in one's own heart. To keep your heart from jumping. To have a waiting heart. A gentle spirit dealing with others. Bearing up with patience through the difficulties and troubles of life without murmuring, complaining. It is the quality of putting up with others even when one is severely tried. Patience. Do you have patience with your spouse? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit which we should manifest because we have the Spirit of God living in us, not because it's easy. We should get along and find harmony not because it's easy, but because we have the Spirit of God living in us. It's His power through us that can generate these truths, that can produce this fruit in our life. How are we doing as we evaluate ourselves? But then he said we should also have kindness. Now remember, what we've talked about is the fact that when the Spirit of God is bringing spiritual unity, there has to be a one focal point. And I believe the fruit of the Spirit is the focal point of which if we all focus on that focal point, we'll be heading in the same direction, not only as husband and wife, but I can even say that as a church. But kindness is another one of those part of the fruit of the Spirit that is, this kindness means that I will provide something beneficial to the one who I am living with. The idea that it's the opposite of hatred, where hatred promotes harshness, severity, unkindness, anger, the desire for revenge, this kindness results in the opposite of all that. You even show kindness by behaving properly to others as God has treated you kindly. Boy, that's a motivation, isn't it? I hate those verses that says, I'm to love my wife like I love God. I'm to forgive as I'm to been forgiven. I hate those because they're hard. But I want to be like God. I want to be like Christ. The only way I can do that is through the fruit of the Holy Spirit helping me. And this kindness, it comes from a result of a life of the Spirit that goes beyond ourselves. It influences all of our conduct. We are not to live only as mainly for spiritual enjoyments of fellowship with God, but the true field of religion is moving among men and living with God's principles among men. That's a real testimony. And so who would be the one that should see the relevance of the Spirit of God's manifestation within my life more than my wife, than your husband? They see you in all perspectives, so the one that I need to treat right is my wife. How often it is that you show kindness to people outside of your home, but you don't show the same kindness to the people inside your home. You treat those outside the home differently. Shame on us. But then the Bible says goodness also. Goodness is another fruit of the Spirit that should be manifested not by us, not generated by us, but through the guidance and direction of the Spirit of God. This goodness that we're talking about in man is not a mere passive quality, but it's a deliberate preference to right and wrong. It's the firm and persistent resistance of all moral evil. It's always choosing that which is morally good. It's the act of to be generous or generosity in the sense of giving to others and always being what others need more so than what I need. It's giving. It's being good to others. Are you good to your spouse? Has the Holy Spirit moved you to the point of a desire in your heart to want to give to your spouse more than you get? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Then we have another one, faithfulness. This is something that is so important, and I do not believe at all that any of us can do this without the Spirit of God in our life. But it's the state of being someone in whom complete confidence can be placed. You are always trustworthy. You are always dependable. You are always faithful. You always live by your word. You always fulfill your promises. Wow. Wouldn't it be nice to be known as a faithful person? A person that everybody knows you're a person of integrity, and especially your wife or especially your husband. Can you imagine if both of us are striving for these principles, how important it would be for our marriage? How fulfilling it would be to have such spiritual unity that we can be so trusting of each other that we never have to question their faithfulness, their words, their promises, their dependability. And then we have gentleness. The Greek word implies self-restraint as to one's desires and lusts. Being a Christian should make no one crabby or morose or sour. It should sweeten the temper. It should correct your irritable disposition. It should make your heart kind. It should make all people around us happy because they see our gentleness. We have a mildness and indulgence toward the weak and erring. We are looking out for the suffering or those who are injured. We never have the spirit of revenge. We always have our tempers in balance. We always have our passions in balance. Gentleness is the 180-degree difference between anger and gentleness. Gentleness describes the person who is so much in control of himself that he is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. Gentleness. Wow, wouldn't that transform our living if we were gentle people like that? Never getting angry, only at the right times. Then we have the last one, self-control. To exercise complete control over one's desires and actions. To hold oneself in, to be able to command yourself. To be the chief of oneself. To make your heart obedient to the plan of God so much so that you won't do things wrong or against His command. You are a master of your own life. You are a master of your mind. You are a master of your conduct. Can you imagine that? To have so much self-control that my spouse understands that they never have to worry about me, or I never have to worry about her, because we know that we have the Spirit of God controlling ourselves. Notice what it says there. Against such things there is no law. Do you know what? You don't have to keep a bunch of rules and regulations. You don't have to keep a chart over what you're going to do and, oh, was I good today? Was I right? No, there's no law that says you have to live by the Spirit of God. It happens because the Spirit of God lives in you, and therefore He has control of your life. And as the Spirit of God has control of your life and you and your spouse together are looking for this unity, the Spirit manifests the fruit within your life without external laws, without sheets of paper, without rules and regulations, because it becomes part of you. It becomes who you are. But notice what it says in verse 25. Verse 25 is very important because it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So how do we do these things? How do we, as a married couple, get a spiritual unity within our relationship that you've just talked about, Dave? How can we do that? Well, I believe if we live by the Spirit, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are a Christian. You do have the Spirit of God inside of you. You are confident you're going to heaven. You're confident your sins are forgiven. Then the Bible says, if you start at that place of live by the Spirit, then every day try to walk with Him. Allow Him to control you. Allow Him to change you. Allow these principles to be part of your life, not because there's a benefit to you, but because it's pleasing to God. And when you please God with your life and your spouse pleases God with their life, tell me you're not going to have spiritual unity within your home. If we say we love God, then let's show it by our lives. If we say, oh, I love God and I have the Spirit of God within me, then let Him transform you. Let Him change your thinking, your attitude, your actions. Last of all, the man who lives to God truly lives. That's our goal, to live for God, to change our focus from living for me, what's going to make me happy, and living for God. Now, there's two questions in your bulletin, and they're not on the back. They're right above the treasurer's report there. And we have the two questions that you can discuss about this as you go home. Openly discuss with your spouse how your marriage is enhanced by living by the Spirit. And lovingly and gently share with your spouse areas where you each need to be more yielded to the Spirit and commit to support each other as you grow. I ask the question, do you think living by the Spirit will bring spiritual unity within your marriage? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time that we spent now. We ask that it was beneficial. We pray, Father, that you will use your word for your honor and your glory in the hearts of your people and establish your principles within our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.